Welcome to Movie House, a weekly production of Delta College Public Radio. I'm your host, Mark Brown. Today, I'm joined by Kelly Kent, Executive Director of the Friends of the Historic Masonic Temple, the charitable arts organization dedicated to the mission of preserving and restoring that grand old building in downtown Bay City. Kelly, tell us generally about the mission of the Masonic Temple in Bay City, and specifically, what part movies play in that mission.
Absolutely. So our mission is, as you mentioned, number one, to restore and preserve our building, which is 132 years old. It still exists much as it did in 1905, so it is a beautiful piece of architecture, but a museum piece in its own right. And we are now giving it its second life as a community center for the arts, where we focus on performance, education, and then artist incubation. We really love individuals coming to us with a self-serving interest and helping them really explore their passions in creating art. And we do that in multiple of avenues. Movies play a special part because they also relate very much to our history. 127 years ago, one of the first film presentations was played in our auditorium in the building. It was a battle scene from the Crimean War. I believe it was the
Charge of the Light Brigade.
That's the one. Thank you. Charge of the Light Brigade. And so to celebrate that history, we thought what a great way to also showcase something that is capable within our building. And we settled on doing the Midnight Monster movie series, again, because for 120 years, our community was conditioned not to notice the building that we were in. So we knew we had to get people inside. And this movie series became a very easy way. It's a cheap date, $2 for a show, that people get to come in and enjoy something that's been a part of our lives for a very long time.
So once a month in the Masonic, in one of the large, beautiful rooms, you show some kind of monster movie, horror movie, scary movie, sometimes a sci-fi, and it's $2 admission. Popcorn is cheap. Water is cheap. And people get to sit in this historic room and see something fun and hopefully spooky and scary in the best way.
Absolutely. And we have, we've evolved to sci-fi, fantasy, and horror movies. We promise you the good, the bad, and the really awful. And we have definitely played some bad movies. But in that auditorium, regardless of the quality of film, it's a treat to get to see them there. It's the atmosphere creates an element of magic. We get enthusiastic about it. So there's multiple times that we might be dressed up in costume for it. We always have some sort of drawing related to the film. And we really celebrate it. But it's also an opportunity for individuals to experience film that they may not experience otherwise. We've played silent movies. We've played movies as recent as 2016. We look for movies that are just off the wall. But most of our films are chosen by the sponsors, that they pick their film, they sponsor the licensing for it, and it really builds out a very unique schedule because it's curated by audience members.
I've been to a few of these Midnight Monster movie events. They're so much fun. There's an almost kind of carnivalesque atmosphere. I went and saw Beetlejuice several years ago, and people brought a full-size sandworm costume. There were three people dressed up as a sandworm from Beetlejuice circling around the lobby and then into the theater and back out. And you guys auctioned off, there was a raffle for a Handbook for the Dead journal. And it was tremendous fun. And so the thing that it sounds like is that you are trying to make an event. So a lot of movie watching is very casual now, where we watch a movie on our phone propped on our chest while we're about to fall asleep at night. But to go to the Masonic, this gorgeous building, and to have sandworms and raffles and costumes, it sounds like you're designing an experience.
We really hope to, because enjoying movies, especially when you're with a group of people, it's about more than just watching that film. You know, regardless of how bad the movie is, it's trying to tell a story. It's trying to evoke a reaction or at least a conversation. And I think one of my favorite things about the monster movies, outside of the festivities that we put into it is standing in the lobby after the movie's over and just listening to people talking about it and getting engaged with just all types of movies. Have we thought about showing this or that? We even have a giant pad of paper that sits out there that people just keep writing their ideas. And in recent years, we started opening the season in January with a viewer's choice, where we pull movies from that list and then our audience chooses through Facebook and at other events to say, here, this is the movies we want to see.
Which sounds to me like that ties in with the larger mission of Masonic in general, which is to get people involved with the arts, involved with their community, involved with this building.
Absolutely.
Any particular films that are coming up in this year's schedule that you're looking forward to or dreading?
I don't think any that I'm dreading. I'm excited for a few of them. Always our September sponsor always tries to find the worst movie possible. And we've had some doozies in September. This September, we're showing Rubber from 2010. So we love inanimate objects that go on killing sprees, and this one's about a tire. We have a lot of fun with movies from the 90s and the 80s that were geared towards children. Jim Henson went through a phase where he was trying to give movies that taught kids it's okay to be scary. And we have a series of films that we show over time, and I think they're the movies that traumatized me as a child, but I love them today. And so in August, we're going to be showing Return to Oz from 1985. One of them that I'm extremely excited about, though, is in November, we're going to be showing 1931's Dracula. And this will be the first time we do a double feature film. So the first film will be the Bela Lugosi movie that we're all familiar with. But Universal Pictures was trying something new at that point, where when they wanted to expand their audience, they thought, why dub over a movie? Instead, how about we bring in a cast that speaks the language? And so they made a Spanish-speaking version that started filming. When Bela Lugosi and his crew would leave, the Spanish-speaking cast would come in and they'd film all the same scenes over again. And turned out that wasn't a cost-effective way to make movies, but you end up with two identical films that have differences based on the culture. And this is after Hollywood put in the codes for decency and things. So the Spanish-speaking version is a little bit different. There's a little bit more décolletage. There's a little bit, you know, a little bit more, I don't know what word to use there.
Slightly more racy.
Slightly more racy, exactly. And so to be able to compare these, where at a time they were filmed exactly behind each other.
On the same sets. Like they literally just walked off the set and the Spanish-speaking crew came on and filmed the same scenes the same day, same sets, same costumes, essentially.
Exactly.
Just in a different language.
And I'm really looking forward to that presentation, because now it also adds a whole new element of discussion in there to really talk about, you know, how these films compare to each other.
And certainly given the history of racial representation in Hollywood and how much, especially early Hollywood, was so whitewashed. And so oftentimes, you know, characters of Latin descent were played by white dudes named Steve with makeup. And so to see an actual Hispanic film or a Latin film, a Latin version of that film, would be fascinating.
Absolutely.
What would you say to a listener who's on the bubble about coming out to a show at the Masonic?
You know, first of all, it is not expensive at all. So if you're on the fence, do yourself a favor and just try it out. It's a very neat theater to be able to see film in. And it's an experience to see it with other audience members that are there because, number one, they love film, but they also just love the experience of being in this theater and watching this together. And regardless of it being a movie that you might love or it being a movie that we all realize was a little questionable, it's just so much fun. And we've got plenty of options still coming up in this season for films. Everything from, you know, 1964, The Horror of Party Beach, to The Crow from 1994.
Where can listeners go for more information about the Midnight Monster movie series, as well as just the Masonic in general?
So for more information, listeners can go to our website. That is www.hmtbc.org for Historic Masonic Temple, Bay City. You can also find us on Facebook, and the Midnight Monster Movies has its own Facebook page as well, where we like to share trivia about upcoming films, and it's very focused on the films that we're showing in the season.
Excellent. Thanks so much for your time. I look forward to coming out and seeing movies at the Masonic.
Thank you, and thank you for having me here.
Movie House is a production of Delta College. I'm Mark Brown of Delta's Arts and Letters Division. Tune in next week for another new review. You can find past episodes of Movie House at deltapublicmedia.org and wherever you get your podcasts.